Welcome to this special Yom Kippur afternoon podcast. In this extraordinary year, one of the many things we are missing is the sound of our choir. Especially at the High Holy Days, but in truth throughout the year, they fill our lives with music, providing moments of majesty, provoking in us memories and emotions, soothing us with beauty. One of the things we cannot do this year is sing together with them. But this podcast is a small way of responding to that gap. In it, you'll find six songs from the Yamim Noraim. Four of these have been recorded by our own choir singing in their homes and mixed together for us by Alex Scannell, to whom we are incredibly grateful. The other two have been sung by Katie and by Cantor Tamara. Each song is introduced by a member of the Eilith clergy. We are grateful to all of the choir for the sharing of the gift of their voices, and we look forward to being able to sing together with them once again. Gemar Chatima Tova, may we be sealed for good.
We are at the end of Musaf on both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We have climbed to the heights of hope on Rosh Hashanah with Yonatan Tokef, while the call of the shofar has summoned us to self-examination and judgment. On Yom Kippur in Musaf, we have seen what sacrifice might mean, sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem, and the sacrifices our people have made all too often across time and space. And so we come to Hayom Ta'amtseinu, this day God give us strength. Our version is just a few lines of a longer piyut, a religious poem, surviving in its entirety only in the Italian rite. It is a plea to God that our prayer be heard. It is a plea for blessing, a yearning for purification and for strength to live a decent life. All in all, a fitting conclusion to the rigours of Musaf. There are many melodies for it. In my previous community, it was high opera, an exhilarating interplay between soloist and choir. Here we sing it to a contemporary melody by the composer Joseph Finley, music director of Mosaic Reform Synagogue. Not high opera, but simply, as someone described it to me, jolly.
Yeah. Chelichot occur throughout our High Holy Day liturgy and offer us moments to confess our sins. The Slichot consist of groups of biblical verses and psalms which are loosely connected to one another. These petitions center around the 13 attributes revealed to Moses when he received the second tablets of stone. These attributes are known as Seder Slichot, rites of forgiveness. We are told in Talmud that whenever Israel sins, they shall perform this rite before God, and then they shall be forgiven, for the 13 attributes do not remain unanswered. It was deemed that these attributes could not be recited by themselves, and so in the 5th century, El Melech Yoshev, the king sits, became part of the introduction to the Slichot in our services. Written in a similar style to the biblical verses included in the Slichot, it imagines God as the omnipotent king who sits on a throne fashioned of mercy. It tells us of the nature and essence of God, reassuring us that we will be pardoned as God is both merciful and compassionate.
Kianu Amecha is based on a midrash on the verse in the Song of Songs, Dodi li va'ani lo, my beloved is mine and I am my beloved's. The main idea in the text is that the close relationship between God and Israel is parallel to other close relationships, child and parent, flock and shepherd, vineyard and keeper. In a classical liturgy, Kianu Amecha comes as an introduction to one of the recitations of Vidui Zuta, the short confession, Ashamnu, in the services on Yom Kippur. Used in this context, to quote the author Ronald Eisenberg, the text quickly departs from this idyllic description by immediately contrasting the stark difference between humanity and the divine. In a classical liturgy, it follows by noting that we are arrogant, stubborn, laden with sin and ethereal as a passing shadow, whereas God is gracious and merciful, patient, abounding in compassion and eternal. In our Machzor, though, Kianu Amecha preserves the original message of the Midrash. We stop before the dark turn. For us, the piyut is brought later in our services to reinforce the idea that our relationship with God can be close. Our relationship with God can be, has been, repaired by our teshuvah. once again, Dodi li va'ani lo. Hence, the melody that we sing is not one of sadness or trepidation, but is one of joy.
Centers on the language of place and location. The psalmist yearns to be close to God, not in a spiritual way, but in a physical one. He invokes the phrase we know so well from our tefillah, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, happy are those who dwell in God's house. The psalm observes that even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself in which to set her young, near God's altar. We hear and feel a real sense of magnetism about God's physical presence in these words. I'm sure that each of us can identify with these feelings of longing for physical place, for familiarity, for a sense of grounding. And we have yearned for what we've always known as God's house, the synagogue, as we have navigated what it looks and feels like to be far from it. But we have also discovered the ways in which our homes have become God's house as well over these 6 months. Psalm 84 speaks of the travelers on the pilgrim highways who maintain their faith in God through their travels. They pass through Emek HaBacha, the Valley of Tears, regarding it instead as a place of springs, as if the early rain had covered it with blessing. And then the text continues, they travel Michail ad Chail, from rampart to rampart, scaling walls to appear before God in Zion. But the rabbis suggest another translation for Michail ad Chail, from strength to strength. May each of us go from strength to strength as we travel through this sacred time together, continuing to discover the ways that God dwells among us.
Oh, You are about to hear the Elith choir perform Mi Yitaneni. Mi Yitaneni is a piyut, or a poem, by Hebrew poet Yehuda Halevi, who lived in Spain and Israel at the end of the 11th and beginning of the 12th century. The refrain is translated in our Machzor as, "If I could be a true servant of God my Maker, though every friend reject me, God would draw me near." In the first verse, God is described as Ro'i, my shepherd, suggesting a desire for God to care for the narrator like a shepherd tends to their flock. A direct and imminent relationship very different to the relationship of judgment that we are mostly concerned with on Yom Kippur. The poem ends with a plea to God to answer us and to say, "Hineni, I am here," expressing a deep-seated human desire to know that we are not alone in the universe. As the day begins to dwindle and we approach Yizkor and Ne'ilah and the end of Yom Kippur, and as we reflect on all the words we have uttered, all the confessions we have poured out, both from our mouths and from our hearts over the last hours and days, we can understand and sympathize with the poet's desire to hear a response from the divine, a reassurance that our prayers have been heard on high. As modern Jews, we are often faced with the reality that God does not speak with us directly, and it is perhaps up to us to find that still small voice in the midst of the noise of the world. Where we find our comfort might be very different to that of Yehuda Halevi's time, but the desire to feel part of something bigger is one that humans have shared across the centuries.
We conclude Yizkor by singing Psalm 23 with a calming, almost lilting melody. We've made the journey through Yizkor, we've confronted the mortality of those we have known and loved, some of whom were with us at this time last Yom Kippur. Inevitably, those in their first year since the death are reminded of their own mortality. But every Yizkor, of course, reminds everyone, you and me, of our mortality, and it cannot and should not be otherwise. In our funeral service book, the rubric for Psalm 23 is, "Though overwhelmed by darkness, God restores our souls." It speaks to us of security. In green fields, God lets me lie. But then, in virtually the next verse, it speaks of danger and addresses our insecurity. "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no harm." Is that a statement of fact, I wonder, of what is? Or is it one of hope and yearning for a security which we may not be feeling? And especially this year's core, after 6 months of lockdown, when we cannot be together as community, it has particular poignance and meaning. And so the more I read this psalm, the more does it seem absolutely appropriate to read it at a funeral and to sing it now to conclude Yizkor. Thank you.
This is Katie Heinbach, Eilif's Head of Music. We'd like to say a big thank you to a number of people who put together today's podcast. Our first is to Alex Scannell, our wonderful sound engineer. We'd like to also thank Julianne Gallant, who played piano beautifully and put together the backing tracks for the choir to sing along to. We'd like to thank all the choir members who sang on this podcast: Rolf Roseman, Anthony Ordman, Jeffrey Silver, Daniel Roseman, Ed Perry, Tom Morse, Michael Dykes, Alan Perry, Janine Clements, Nicola Foytwang, Carol Holmes, Rebecca Wolfe, Jill Epstein, Sarah Lederman, Karan Graham, Erica Perry, Naomi Baker, and Naomi Perry. I'm really looking forward to hopefully being able to sing with you again in person very soon. Our final thank you is to all the clergy team: Rabbi Josh, Rabbi Elliot, Cantor Tamara, Rabbi Hannah, and Rabbi Colin. Thank you for lending your voices and wisdom to today's podcast. All of us at Eilif wish you Shana Tova, to a happy and healthy new year.